Nehemiah 9, let's start halfway through verse number 5. Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, Lord, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Thou art the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abram, and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gave him the name Abraham, and foundest his heart faithful before thee, and madest a covenant with him, to give the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous. We'll stop right there. We ask, Heavenly Father, your blessing. Consider these foolish hearts of ours and our weak minds. May we learn something this evening, and may we act upon it. May our Savior be glorified in it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I've been preaching the Word of God for quite a while now, half a century or so. And I can tell you from experience that the more a person studies the Bible, the more he will see things that he had never seen before. Sometimes we learn that our doctrinal perspectives are a little askew. And often we just see new stuff. God just brings new things to our attention that was there all the time. It's really not perhaps a doctrinal matter, but just something in the Word of God. And we've never seen it before. And the Lord just brings it to our attention. We cannot exhaust the depths of God or His Word. There's always something new to learn. It may not be really significant, but as far as I'm concerned, because of my love for the things of God, it thrills me to know that there's something new there. And this week I've learned something about the righteousness of God. You'd think that would be well understood. Our unnamed worship leader, this Levite, whoever he was, makes a statement in verse number 8, which the Holy Spirit highlighted in my mind. This is what I want you to preach on Wednesday. The man said, Lord, thou hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous. At first I thought, Lord, you want me to bring a lesson on this? I thought, this is so simple and elemental, I'm not sure that I know how to go over it once again and keep people's attention. Are you sure this is what we're supposed to be looking at this evening? But I was wrong, at least in part. I may not be able to keep your attention, but this is not old stuff. This is new. First, this has nothing to do with what I initially thought it was talking about. I think the subject might surprise you as well, but maybe you're more knowledgeable in the Word of God than I am. It's a possibility. Second, I have half a dozen books dealing with the attributes of God, and I have other sets that deal with theology. And in none of those books was there an extensive study on the righteousness of God. In fact, in most of those books, the righteousness of God is hardly even mentioned, which surprised me. And yet, there are over 200 verses in the Old Testament that use this word righteousness in verse number 8. Thou art righteous. We have 200 verses in the Scripture, and yet it doesn't come up in the theology books. God is holy. When I first read this verse, my mind automatically substituted the word holy for righteous. Lord, thou hast performed thy words, for thou art holy. Makes sense to me. But here's the thing. The righteousness of God is not the same thing as the holiness of God. Righteousness and holiness are not synonyms, at least in the biblical language. When the Bible speaks about the righteousness of God, it is different from the holiness of God. And when the Word of God speaks about righteous people, it is not talking necessarily about saints. It's not necessarily talking about holy people. God is holy in the sense that he is separated from sin. He stands apart from sin. You could say that he is sanctified, but that's kind of missing the mark just a little bit. And when God saves a sinner, that person becomes one of the Lord's saints. He is sanctified. He is set apart. He is separated unto God and his glory. There are scriptures which speak about us as holy people or as a holy nation in 1 Peter, for example. But that doesn't mean that those saints are righteous. And it doesn't necessarily mean that those who are not saints are not righteous, according to the definition of the word. The Hebrew word holy is also translated dedicated to God, consecrated. It's even translated a sanctuary. But the Hebrew word righteous does not refer to separation or holiness. It refers to justice. It's related, but it's different. This word is translated righteousness 162 times, and it's translated just 42 times, not necessarily in the sense of justified. The just man is not necessarily justified. When a man is said to be righteous, it means that he is acting with justness or justice. He is honest, shall we say. Are you still with me? Holy means sanctified. Righteous means just. And we have the word righteous here in this verse. Perhaps you can see the meaning of this word just a little later on in this man's prayer or song or whatever it is. Look at 9:31. Nehemiah 9:31. After describing Israel's rebellion against God, our Levite says, "Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. Now therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, the terrible God, yet the one who keepest covenant and mercy, let not all the trouble seem little before thee. Lord, look on us that hath come upon us, on our kings and on our princes, on our priests and on our prophets and on our fathers, and on all thy people since the time of the kings of Asia unto this day. Howbeit, thou art just." It's the same word as righteous. "Thou art just in all that is brought upon us, for thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly." God acted appropriately. He always acts appropriately. Yeah. Sinners need to be judged, but God is merciful and gracious, and sometimes he blesses. But he always does what is right. And that's the meaning of the word. When it comes to men, it is easy, perhaps, to see that righteous is not the same thing as holy. A righteous man is not necessarily a saved individual. For example, when Solomon ordered Benaiah to execute Joab for murder, we saw this a couple of months ago, Solomon said, "And the Lord shall return his blood upon his own head, who fell upon two men more righteous than and better than he, and he slew them with the sword." Joab killed two men who were more righteous than he. If that's referring to holiness, how can something be more holy than something else? It's just holy or it's not. But it's not speaking about holiness. Joab killed two men who, in many ways, were better than he was. Just that simple. If the word righteous meant holy, how can something be more holy than another thing? When Abraham was arguing for the people of Sodom, he said, "Lord, peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein?" Abraham wasn't saying, "Lord, what if there are 50 saints in the city?" He was just saying, "What if there are 50 honest men in that city? Would you destroy the city for 50 good people, if there were 50 good people in there?" Genesis 7:1. "The Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and thy house into the ark, for I have seen thee righteous before me in this generation." The Lord didn't find Noah in a holy state. He didn't see Noah as a saved person. He saw him as an honest man in a dishonest society. The meaning of the word. There are abundance of scriptures which contrast righteousness and wickedness. "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts of men." This same Hebrew word is found twice in that verse, translated just in one place and righteous in another. It's just men and a righteous God. The Bible says, "God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day." We have the righteous over here and the wicked over there. "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. The tongue of the just," again the same word, "the tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth." There are dozens more scriptures like this which compare righteous deeds and wicked deeds. Righteous people, wicked people. They are opposites. These scriptures are talking about behavior, not spiritual condition. They're talking about people. Our scripture is talking about the righteous God. The Lord our God, as our prayer leader tells us, is righteous. I could share several dozen scriptures. I read through all of them. I could give you many scriptures which restate this. God is righteous. But a couple of them. Exodus 9:27. "Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked." The Lord does right. We don't. One of my favorite verses in the book of Deuteronomy uses this word, and again, it's translated just. Deuteronomy 32:4, "Jehovah our God, he is a rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." He does truth. He is without iniquity. He does what is right. He is just. This is not talking about his holy nature. It's talking about the way he does things. Ezra prayed in 9:15, "O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous." Psalm 116:5, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works." Lots and lots of scriptures like this. The Lord is righteous. It's not talking about his nature, it's talking about the way, I was going to say the way he behaves, That's an anthropomorphism, isn't it? None of these scriptures are saying that the Lord is holy. That is a different word. It's used throughout the Old Testament. It's a different word entirely. These are saying that he does what is right. He is just. Psalm 11:3 is a memorable verse in a backward sort of way. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous people do? What can the righteous do? Just and honest people need a standard upon which to establish their lives. They need laws. They need rules of morality. And when there is no foundation, by what principle do we judge the righteousness of a man? When the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? When Moses was exhorting Israel to learn God's law and be obedient to God's law, he said, "And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day?" We have a righteous foundation. It means it's right. Not necessarily, it is holy, but that's not what he's saying right here. All of this came out of my study after I got into it, and there was quite a bit more that just too tedious to share. But my first intention, when I first looked at this verse, my thought was to pursue a lesson that things which characterize the righteous. What does verse 8 say? Thou hast performed thy words because thou art righteous. We're told here that God is righteous, he is just, and therefore he keeps his word. He keeps his promises. God is righteous, and therefore he cannot lie. Titus 1:2. This is essentially the theme of this long prayer. God keeps his word. God keeps his covenant. Verse 31 again. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. And then verse 33. Howbeit thou art just in all that thou hast brought upon us, for thou hast done right. We have done wickedly. The same word is used to describe people who are righteous. When it comes to civil government, the God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. 2 Samuel 23:3. A good governor needs to be honest, just,
yes,
right behaving. King Saul. Again, going back to some lessons that Austin brought to us. King Saul, in a moment of sanity and lucidity, said of David, "Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil." Righteous people are not retaliatory. They bless when they're cursed. They do good to those who despitefully use them. In other words, they behave in a fashion similar to the Lord. He is righteous. We are supposed to be righteous. Additionally, he is holy. We're supposed to be holy. But they're not the same thing. I could go on, but I won't keep you. I'll close with some blessings that God has promised for those people who are righteous. And as I do, please keep in mind that to receive these blessings, we must be righteous. For example, if you do not keep your word, then you have no right to expect these blessings from the righteous God. What does the faithful, just, righteous God do for those people who are righteous in their behavior? All of these come from Psalms. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor thou wilt compass him as with a shield. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And Proverbs 10:3. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. Because the Lord is righteous, it is a part of his nature and his character to act in a just manner. That means he will judge the wicked. And it also means that he will bless those people who behave in a fashion like unto himself. He will bless those who are righteous. We cannot go wrong in trying to serve the Lord in God's own way. Amen. The Lord is righteous. He acts rightly, as we should.